Well, we'd like to ask the Lord to bless our little time here this morning. Might not be such a long message here, but I feel like the Lord's given us some things. And so we want to look at a little piece of a story in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 4th verse. And I think about this concerns Elijah, and you know, there's some things here that's a little bit hard to understand, because Elijah had just spent 3.5 years in exile, if you want to call it that, or hiding out anyway from Ahab, and Ahab was a wicked king. And he was the king of Israel at this time. And Israel was in a lot of sin and a lot of trouble. And so Elijah had said, it's not going to rain. I believe he said, it's not going to do until I say so. I believe is the way he said it. And it didn't for 3.5 years. And Elijah went out by the brook, we know, I think it was Cherith, and the ravens fed him every day, and God took good care of him. And in the meantime, Ahab was sending people into every country looking for this man. And he took an oath of that country that they didn't have him. When he left, I want your word that you don't know where this man is, because it wasn't raining and there was no dew. And things was getting really tight. It was getting bad. And so after 3.5 years, Elijah came back and he met Obadiah, Ahab's servant. Was that? And we find him, he told him that to go and to call Ahab and to meet with him at Carmel. And so he did that. And there we know that Ahab, before the people of Israel, he called Israel together and met with them there. And they had been worshiping Baal, and they had been worshiping idols, and they had been far from God. And the Lord performed an amazing thing there. Elijah said, let's put oxen out here. Let's slay this, and the God that answers by fire, let's let him be God. And so they cried unto their gods, and they cut themselves and did all the things they could, and nothing happened. And Elijah took his, and he built the altar of the Lord, and he slew the oxen, and he laid it there, and he had them pour barrels of water on it several times, more barrels, until I believe there was 12 barrels of water, till it ran all around in the trench around it. And then Elijah just prayed to God in a very calm way, it sounds like, and the Lord answered by fire. And the fire came down and licked up all the water and did all of this amazing thing. And then Elijah took it in hand to get rid of the prophets of Baal that were there, 450 of them. And then we see that made Ahab's wife Jezebel very upset. And she sent a message to him, and she said, "The gods do so to me also, if tomorrow you're not like one of those that you slew." And so what happened to Elijah at that point? Now, Elijah, God had been caring for him for 3.5 years. Every day, miraculously every day, miraculously caring for him. And he hid him out. And now Jezebel sends him a little message, and Elijah acts like he's never heard of God. And he runs for his life. You know, I don't quite fully understand that. The only thing I understand is that we're kind of like that too. And if we don't watch out, we'll do the same thing. You know, God can work for us in the most amazing ways. And right around the corner, we can be fearing for our very spiritual life. We can be fighting for our life. That's the way people are. You know, we have to be careful of ourselves. We're in a battle, and we're in a fight, and we want to win. I want to read what happened here when Elijah got this word. Verse 4 says, but he himself, well, verse 3 says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. You know, this morning, we are like this too. We have a journey that we're on this morning. And the Lord wants to give us what we need for that journey. We find here that Elijah was so exhausted from all the things that was going on. From the mental, he went from this amazing high to this amazing low, and now he's running for his life. And you know, the Lord didn't forget about him. The Lord came and looked him up, and he said, he sent his angel, and he woke him up, and he gave him something to eat, didn't he? And he had something all prepared for him there. And so Elijah went back to sleep. He was so exhausted, and the angel woke him up again, said, here, you need to eat some more. And the journey's too great for you. You know, this morning, I just want to talk about our journey a little bit. That if we will let the Lord, if we will let Him, if we will eat from His hand, if we will let Him work with us, He will make us capable of the journey. Elijah went on here, and he went from this place for 40 days and 40 nights and ate nothing. And God sustained him just fine all the time. You know, Elijah had been, he had seen a lot of God's working. He knew God could work. He knew what God could do. And the Lord prepared him for what was ahead. You know, I believe the Lord wakes us up too. I think that He deals with you and me too. I think He says, rise and eat. It's real important for us to rise and eat. I don't know why it took 40 days and 40 nights for Elijah to go 150 or 200 miles. But he was running for his life. He was probably, my guess is maybe he was going at night. Maybe he was weaving his way through the forest real slow. Maybe, I don't know what he was doing. He was afraid for his life. But we find him here taking this journey, and the Lord knew what he was going to be doing. The Lord knew. And so God gave him what he needed and gave him the food and the strength that he needed to go in that. Now I want to think about our Christian life a little bit this morning. And I want to think about our journey. I know I mentioned, and the Lord mentioned it quite a bit too. And, you know, it's kind of like a garden, folks. It's like growing a garden. You know, we can make our journey and tend it well, or we can leave it. But I'm just thinking about, maybe we'll move to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, and then talk about this a little more after we read this. Here it says, you know, the Lord saw what Elijah was in, and he saw the battle he was in, and he gave him what he needed. And Paul says here, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Paul just keeps changing ideas here. And he says, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, this morning, we're no better than Elijah. I believe the scriptures tell us that he was a man of like passions like as we are. Yet he prayed effectual, fervent prayers, and the Lord heard him. Yet, in spite of his humanity, he stayed with the Lord, and the Lord cared for him and took care of him. You know, I believe the Lord will do that for us this morning. But I want to tell us something. Life is like a garden. If we don't tend to it for just a little while, everything will be growing except the things that we want to be growing. Everything will be growing, and it'll be growing, and it'll be taken over, and it'll be choking everything else out. The fruit that we had hoped for will soon be eaten by bugs. The things that we had carefully planted and prepared the soil and all of that, you know, we have to be aware that this thing has to be tended. I think about the journey that we're on. It's not just a merely ever after thing. We cannot just get saved. We cannot just turn our heart to the Lord and feel like, you know, well, I'm going to float on in. There is some things we're going to have to tend to diligently. We're going to have to be careful. Our journey, the angel told Elijah, it's too great for you. The journey's too great for you. You know what? The journey's too great for us too, except we have that food that God supplies for us spiritually. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that we tend to our spiritual life. Take care of it. Watch it. Make sure it's watered. Make sure you get the stuff that you need. You know, it don't just need water. It needs sunshine. It needs a little weeding now and then. Sometimes we see a little something growing up. We got to pull that stuff out. Because if we don't, what I found was, even in soft, well-prepared, well-made soil, you just let it get its growth for a while, and you'll be pulling everything out to pull it out. And so we have to take care of it. Our garden this morning, our life, our spiritual life, let's take good care of it today. Let's let the Lord, He'll feed us if we will, but we're going to have to be diligent to attend to that, to be sure that we're in that place, to make sure that we hear the Lord, to make sure that that we keep things weeded, to make sure that, you know, we have squash plants right now. They're blooming. They're big. One of them, the leaf is probably 14 inches across or so. And it's looking real nice. And it's got squash on it and blooms and all of that. But you know what? I know that there's a little worm that when it's laid, when this little flying insect lays this, this larva, okay, thank you, and it comes to be, it'll bore right into that stem, and in a few days or a week, it'll start looking all sick. And I'll wonder what's wrong. No, I don't wonder anymore. When I see that squash plant start looking yellow, I know there's a worm down in there. Now, sometimes you can see where they bored in, and you can cut them open and pull them out, and maybe save it if it hasn't already infected the plant. But you know, we've got to take care of our stuff, folks. we're no better than Elijah. I don't understand the story of Elijah completely. How could a man have just seen for 3.5 years God's hand working every day and him hiding him from the wrath of the king, and suddenly his wife says, I'm going to kill you, and he runs for his life like he's never heard of God. I don't understand why he didn't stop and say, Lord, where are you? What do you want me to do now? What is the plan now? Because things has changed. What do I do? But you know, we've got to watch, don't we, for our little garden. I think about how that Paul, he's not talking about drudgery here. He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And he says that those that run in a race, they all run, but one receives the prize. He says, you run like that one. You know, he's telling us something here. He's not talking about drudgery. There's a prize to be gained, because they do it for a corruptible prize. But we do it for eternal life. We do it for the blessings that God brings in our life now. And so when we look at the work that is involved in some of these things, because folks, we know that God gives life. We don't do that. But we've got to keep it alive, don't we? We've got to make sure it gets fed. We've got to make sure this body gets what it needs. And we have to do that spiritually as well. But when the fruit comes on, even before that, when the plant grows, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it something that is amazing? It amazes me almost every day. Every time I see it, it amazes me again. God's handiwork, the work that he does, that is an amazing thing. But I will tell you something, if we don't watch it all the time, there's these little bugs, spider mites, they get all over everything. Pretty soon, the thing dies. Good, big, healthy plant, it dies. So we have to spray it with some stuff. We use organic stuff mostly. But you know, we have to take care of those things. Folks, if we want to live spiritually, we're just going to have to take care. We're going to have to realize there's a great journey ahead of us. Is it drudgery? No. Is there times of drudgery? Yeah. There's times you got to get out there and work. You just got to go to work and get the work done. There's times that you have to bear with some things. But what about all the rest of the time when you're enjoying that, when you're looking at the fruit, when you're eating of the fruit, and all the good things that happen? You know, for somebody that's interested in gardening, it's well worth that, isn't it? So long as it's not out in a weed patch or something. But you know, this morning, our life is like that too. If we take care of it, it'll bear good fruit. And Jesus said he wanted our joy to be full. And he said he would, that we would bear much fruit. That's what Jesus wanted. That's what he wants. He knew what he was talking about. He was talking about these very kind of things. Bearing much fruit in our life. Bearing those things that are luscious. Those things that are good and wholesome. What is better than a sweet, gentle spirit? What is better than humbling ourselves and accepting of the Lord's things, his admonition, his counsel, his rebukes? What is better than those things? The fruit that it brings, the growth that it brings. Psalms 1 tells us a story of the man that diligently seeks the Lord and makes God his all. And you know what? He says he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And all through the scripture we find these kind of illustrations teaching us that if we are diligent about our life, if we put him first, if we serve him with all of our heart, he'll bring forth fruit in our life. He will. He'll bring forth those good things. And so Paul, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. And then he goes on, changes the subject right in the middle of, so fight I, not as uncertainly, not as one that beat at the air. I'm diligent about my business. I got something I'm trying to do. I'm wanting to make heaven my home. I'm wanting to fight for an incorruptible crown. I believe in it. Do we believe in it this morning? Then let's put the water on it. Let's let it grow. Let's let it have life. Let's put the juice to it. Let's give it the fertilizer that it needs. Let's give it the things. Many times the fertilizer we give it comes from some broken down refuse. And what was a mess becomes the best stuff. That's what God wants to do in our life. He just takes what would have, we could never have eat that stuff. We could have never, it would be never good for you. But let God work with it. Put it on your life. Let Him till it into your soil. Let it be part of you, part of who God makes you into, and you'll bear fruit. In fact, I believe by the word of the Lord that we'll bear much fruit this morning. So I thank the Lord. When I see this with Paul, I don't think he's talking about somebody that's just barely hanging in there all the time, fighting for everything he's worth, never making it. No, I believe Paul, in all the troubles and all the trials he had, he enjoyed day by day the many blessings of God, the growth of the green leaves, the growth of the fruit, the word of God living in his life, the will of God being done in his life was so satisfying. I'm certain of that. It was so satisfying to him that he was willing to open his arms and say, "Folks, why are you crying? Why are you breaking my heart? I'm willing to go to Jerusalem and die for this. Or wherever. I'm willing to die for this thing." I believe Paul was, that was his life this morning. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. Now then, Paul's kind of telling some other folks some other things here. Timothy, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Why do we have to endure hardness? Is the Lord just trying to put us on a track that we've got to barely make it and constantly endure hard things? What's his idea? You know, we have an enemy today, and we've got to learn to fight, folks. If we just lay down and let the enemy have his way, if we just let our garden go, what will we have? But here Paul tells Timothy, he said, "You be a good soldier. You learn to endure some hard things." What are those hard things? It's hard on the flesh. Things that we have to deal with. Things that we have to, how are we going to have a right spirit in this? How are we going to fulfill the will of God in that? How are we going, you know, the Lord, there's a lot of things we go through, isn't there? But if we're going to have the fruit, and if we're going to have the vines, and if we're going to have the beautiful things that God wants us to have, and we can have it, then we're going to have to fight for it. I don't know why God made gardens that the weeds grow and the plants have to be tended to diligently or they die. I don't know. Except that maybe he wanted us to have that kind of a close illustration that we could understand our spiritual life. We've got to fight the flesh. We've got to fight the devil. Not each other, but the devil. We've got to fight the things that would keep us from entering the kingdom of heaven. We've got to fight for this thing. And Paul tells Timothy, he said, "You learn to endure hardness. You learn to rise up and fight like a man." Because I want to tell you something. There's always an enemy that's going to attack. There's always, it's in life, it's in plants, it's in human experiences. There's always something out there. We've got to have the Lord this morning. And so I just want to encourage us to be faithful in the fight. I've seen many people that are not faithful in the fight, and they just go along. But folks, if we're going to have God living in our soul, we're going to have to fight for that. Because we have an adversary. That's why we have to fight. That adversary is going to keep us from it if possible. But I will tell you, if we'll gird up the loins of our mind, If we will fight for it, if we will let the Lord, He will give us sufficient grace and strength to go the 40 days and 40 nights, or whatever it is that we have to face. Get prepared for the battle. Don't think it's not coming, and don't be lazy and let it go, because pretty soon it'll be overwhelming. It'll be overgrown. It'll be more than we feel like we can take care of. And that takes an act of God. Matthew 7. I want to read a little bit here. Matthew 7 and 13. Listen to what Jesus said to the people here. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Now that gate, that straight, is not talking about not crooked, like in a perfect straight line. It's talking about a difficult, narrow place. And he said, this is what Jesus told his followers. Excuse me. He said, you enter in at that difficult gate. You go in where you have to kill the self. You go in where you have to overcome the enemy. He says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I believe it's not because they can't find it. It's because we aren't willing many times. And God help us to be willing to enter in at that difficult and narrow place. It doesn't mean that there's no enjoyment in it, because it means just the opposite of that, actually. But there are some things that we have to be diligent about. And we need to gird up the loins of our mind. Learn to fight a good fight. Learn to say no to me. Learn to say yes to God. Learn to accept all His will in our life. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now Jesus dealt with it back there all the time. On every hand He dealt with it. The apostles, even after this time, dealt with it on every hand. And He said, you beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I want to encourage us this morning that we diligently endure hardness as a good soldier. The will of God is not always easy on the flesh. We have to gird up the loins of our mind and fight for it. He says here, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is where the blessings are, when we do the will of the Lord in our life. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, this morning the Lord wants us to depart from iniquity. And He wants us to be hard on self. Be hard on the flesh. Let the Lord work in our lives. Depart from those things that would defile us. We heard in Sunday school this morning, depart from those things. Run from those things that would even captivate us. That's why the Lord told those in the Old Testament to destroy those nations, because He said, if you don't destroy them, they will come back to get you. They will come back and they will entice you. They will entice your children. Pretty soon, you'll be marrying like that. And pretty soon, they will draw you out after their gods. And so, and then, he let them know, I'll be angry with you when you do that. And so, this morning, Let's hear the word of the Lord, that we depart from iniquity, that we're careful to follow Him, that we take care of our plant. Those are things God has to give the growth, but He'll do that if we allow ourselves to be fed, if we drink from the waters of life, if we obey all the scriptures and we serve Him diligently. Then I'll tell you what we'll be like. We'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, whose waters fail not. And it bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And as Jesus said, it brings forth much fruit. That's what the Lord wants to do in our lives. He has no joy in us living a mundane or a life that is full of drudgery. The Lord wants us to have something so much better than that. So the Lord help us today that we enter in at the straight gate, the difficult and narrow places, and that we serve Him, do His will, and hear His voice this morning. It's easy to listen to the false prophets all around us, speaking loudly, much more loudly than we are, and telling us, you don't have to do that. You don't have to go that way. But folks, the Lord wants us to make it. And it comes just like He, just like a garden, just like everything else. It just comes by tending it, by being careful, by letting the Lord produce fruit in it. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Now listen to what Paul told the Thessalonians here. He said that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, as you know, or it says, and you know. You know, this morning, we're going to suffer some tribulation and some anguish. We're going to suffer some problems, and we're going to have some things like that. And Paul told the Thessalonians here, he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. I told you ahead of time that you're going to have some afflictions. The scriptures tell us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And so we see that these kind of things come, don't they? The Lord help us today. I thought about Paul here. We'll be closing before long. Acts 27:22. Listen to this. Now here was Paul doing exactly what God had given him to do. He was on a journey. He was a prisoner. They were taking him on a ship to Rome. And then they run into all these storms. Why the storms? Why did this have to happen? Why couldn't they just sail smooth to Rome? Why couldn't it be that way? I don't know. Maybe God wanted these people at the island of Crete to be saved. You know what? Maybe He had some ideas that Paul didn't have. You know, Paul told him, he said, don't take this ship here. You take this, or he said, you wait. Don't go right now. We're going to have loss if we go. Well, they did, didn't they? But for whatever reason, God allowed all of that. And we find Paul here. But you know, the Lord didn't leave Paul in the midst of all of that. He was with Paul. And you know, after so many days of not eating, it sounds like 2 weeks they hadn't eaten. And then Paul told him, he said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto me last night. He said, now you all take something to eat here for your health's sake. You know, the Lord isn't inclined for us to fast and pray ourselves to nothing or anything like that, but He does want us to seek Him. And He wants us to be faithful when the ship is in the storm and when it's breaking in two. And when all these kind of things happen, He doesn't want us to go do our own thing. What happened to Paul here? Let's read just a little bit. 27:22 of Acts. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. You know, Paul had been around enough, and he had been in enough battles that he had kind of gotten a little bit of endurance. He kind of learned how to deal with some things. And he wasn't out of hope here. He knew his God. Folks, the Lord wants us to know our God is not going to let us go. He's not going to let us down. As long as we're in His will, we're going to be right in His hand. Listen to what Paul says. Wherefore, sirs, well, let's see. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Now, they were still in bad news here. For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And you know the rest of the story, how that they went up and down and they found this little place they thought they could get the ship into maybe, and they headed up that stream. And the ship stuck and it broke in half. You know, verse 29 says, Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Do you know what? This guy believed Paul by now. There was something real different about him. God puts us in these places, and He wants us to learn to endure some hardness. Because many times, He could have never caused this to happen if Paul was a weakling and would have given up at the first sight of problems. But Paul was faithful. And so, while the day, verse 33... was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. What a promise. There's not going to be a hair fall from your head, folks. The Lord's got every one of you in control. God had just told him, I'm going to save you and all of everybody on the ship. And so Paul had some confidence, didn't he? All this morning, I just want to leave that thought with us, that we may not know why, and we may not know how, or we may not understand. But I will tell you, God will be with us if we will allow Him to. And if we will allow Him and not break and not run, if we will allow Him, He will do His work in us and in other people too. The Lord help us today to endure hardness as a good soldier, to take the path that Jesus trod, that Paul trod, that all those that have been successful in the Christian life have taken, that we gird up the loins of our mind and decide in our mind, I'm going to be a good soldier. Paul was talking about a good soldier. I'm going to be a good soldier. I'm going to fight for it. I'm not going to let the devil make me into whatever he has in mind. I'm going to make heaven my home. I'm going to fight like I'm fighting to win a fight. I'm going to run like I'm running to win a race. And is that all bad? Is it that we're out of breath all the time? No. We see constantly the beauties of God's growth and the fruits that He brings. And we enjoy it. And our family enjoys it. And everybody else enjoys it. God help us today that we win and that we serve Him and that we endure hardness as a good soldier and that we live. Amen.